Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. There is a mighty move of God's power sweeping the world today. God is proving himself real to the people. Some have come to label the movement Pentecostalism. But as a Southern Baptist minister affirms, Pentecostalism is not a denomination, it is an experience. As a matter of fact, even the president of a modernist seminary was quoted by an outstanding news magazine as saying, quote, "Peter and Barnabas and Paul might find themselves more at home in a holiness service or at a Pentecostal revival than in the formalized and sophisticated worship of other churches, Catholic or Protestant." I must admit that what we are seeing today, although much of it is emotionalism and wildfire, yet there is the quiet moving of God's Spirit in many places, in saving souls, filling with the Spirit, and healing bodies. Although there is much of what we call spurious, it must be remembered that there cannot be the counterfeit without the genuine and the real. The so-called deliverance campaigns have a sound scriptural basis for their existence. May I share with you some sane truths to back up this assertion? For instance, Pentecost was said to be in fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. You will remember how Peter declared emphatically that what the people in Jerusalem were seeing was prophesied in the Old Testament. "For," declared the apostle, "this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." And Peter goes on to declare that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, now if you will turn back to Joel's prophecy, you will notice the prophet actually said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." Thus we repeat, deliverance campaigns are scriptural just as evangelistic and revival campaigns. Emotionalism or fanaticism attached to these meetings should not cause us to overlook the full implications of this gracious moving of God's Spirit promised for the last days. Now, in your Scofield Bible, there is a notation which says, quote, "The Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness." Ah, did you hear it? If you don't believe it, look at the footnote on page 1192. Beloved, if everyone who had a Scofield Bible would believe this truth, we would see a deliverance movement on such a vast scale that Pentecost would be multiplied tenfold. And I believe the devil has had us blinded to these truths until the church today, and too long, has been built on man-made mechanized organization instead of the Holy Ghost, with the result that we are left with mere form without power. I'm reminded of the news reporter who saw on the cornerstone of a fashionable New York church the scripture in Matthew 10:8, where it says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils." The reporter found the minister, whereupon she asked, "Do you?" "Do I what?" inquired the minister. "Do you heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils? Inquired the reporter. "If you don't, you shouldn't advertise," said she. Well, how many of our churches today can truly say they are carrying on this type of ministry? I heard a missionary just recently preach on the text, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I said to this fine missionary, "Have you ever looked at the verses preceding and following your text? For if you will do so, you will find Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And it was in view of the tremendous needs that he witnessed in every town and village and city that we read he was moved with compassion. And he said to the disciples, 'The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And no sooner had he said this than in the very next verse we read, he commissioned his 12 disciples, giving them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Beloved, I'm convinced on the basis of the Word of God, we need more missionaries who are full-fledged Holy Ghost-anointed laborers, the kind of which Jesus spoke, doing the full job for which Jesus intended for them to do. I read with consternation those words recorded by Ezekiel concerning the faithless shepherds of Israel, the ministers and priests of whom he spake, pronouncing, "Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves! Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost." Ah, what an indictment! To know that those who pretend to minister in the power of God's Holy Spirit have a powerless ministry, making God something of a puppet and salvation something of a fraud. Is not God the same today as he has always been? If he could say to Israel, his chosen, "I am the Lord thy God which healeth thee," cannot and does he not say this to us today? If he informed the psalmist that he is able to forgive all our iniquities and heal all our diseases, is he not able to do this today? If Elijah and Elisha both witnessed miraculous healings, miracles, raising of the dead, all which transpired before Pentecost, is it too much to expect that God is so limited that he cannot do these very same things today? As a matter of conviction, because of Calvary and the salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ provided, and because of Pentecost, I am convinced that if only we would believe, we would see God performing all of these very same things he has done throughout every dispensation. He does not want to be left without a witness to his almighty power. When communism is today seen threatening to dispel God from his own universe, and atheism is gripping our own secular and educational life of America today, it seems to me to be the only natural thing for God to vindicate himself, to prove himself that he is God and there is nothing too hard for him. Hallelujah, friends! Now today, if you're a Christian, I'm sure if there is anything that you can do to please the Lord, you will want to do it. If you are financially able to give to the work of the Lord, I believe you will want to give because of your love for Jesus. If you are able to pray, I believe you will want to spend as much time possible praying for the lost and the needs around the world. And if possible, you will want to go as a missionary yourself to some far distant clime. And if not possible, you will at least be faithful in witnessing here at home by passing out tracts, inviting others to your place of worship, or testifying to your friends and neighbors concerning Christ. Ah, again I repeat, that if you're in love with Jesus, you will want to do this. If you're not in love with Jesus, go back to Calvary and realize anew the tremendous price paid for your salvation. Now, if you actually want to please the Lord to the fullest extent of your being, I would yet have you turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6, where we read, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, did you hear it? How can you please God? First of all, believe that he is the Almighty God. Secondly, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can mark it down. God's hand is not short and that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. As Isaiah would remind us, it is our iniquities that have separated us from God. The psalmist likewise tells us that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. That's why God seemingly doesn't answer our prayers. Unless we repent, we shall go down in history as a faithless and perverse generation, as have past civilizations. But beloved, Jesus is soon to come, and God is moving mightily by his Spirit to prepare a bride for the soon coming of his Son. We read Enoch pleased God, and God took him unto himself. Today, if you want to please God, begin to believe his precious word. Believe God for your salvation. Believe God for your healing. Believe God for your complete deliverance. Ah, hear me now. Your infirmity may have been brought on by sin or careless living or lust, and you're just not ready for the coming of Jesus. If you know there is lack of love for Jesus in your heart, if you know lust and ungodly passion is robbing you of your love for God, if foul and nasty habits have enslaved you, if you knowingly are doing something you should not be doing, I beg of you to hear the truth of God's word today and repent of every least little sin. Now, don't think for a moment that en route to heaven God has a convenient stopping-off place where you'll be quickly judged and forgiven, and then hasten on to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If I understand the word of God correctly, I believe God intends for believers to judge sins out of their lives here and now, so that they will be ready and unashamed when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel is heard, and Christ is soon to come for his own. Indeed, the scripture says, "He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And if you'll believe God and surrender all to him, you can know the glorious reality of being ready, for God will acknowledge it in your life by the infilling of his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible asks, "When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" Now, it's up to you. Will you believe God today for the supply of all of your needs? If so, it is the same faith that will keep you ready for the soon coming of our blessed Lord. Indeed, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.